The Utah Priorities Project takes a look at poverty. Salt Lake County mayoral candidate Mark Crockett violates campaign finance rules. And Mia Love takes the lead in Utah's 4th Congressional District race. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, October 2nd. I'm Brian Grimmett.
The recession is partly to blame for the number of people in Utah living in poverty. That total is significantly lower than the nation as a whole, but people living below the federal standard for poverty has continued to grow, even as the state's employment numbers have recovered over the past 2 years. Today's Utah Foundation research brief reports 13.5% of Utah's population lives at or below the poverty line. Researcher Sean Teagan says one aspect of poverty in Utah is abundantly clear. Women and children are by far the most vulnerable.
For married couples, the poverty rate is actually pretty low. It's 6.2%. But when you have a male households with no spouse present, you move up to 16.1%. This is for Utah. But female households with no spouse present, it's at 31%. It's a huge difference. And one of the reasons why certainly is the difference in wages for females to males.
The Utah legislature passed a bill in its last session that tries to sort out how much of this poverty is situational, caused by job losses, medical crises, or other circumstances that could be temporary, and how much is intergenerational, children who grew up in impoverished households and who today are also receiving public assistance as adults. The Utah Department of Workforce Services came out with a study on that question last week. Rick Little, the department's director of research and analysis, says they only have data going back to 1989, but it's enough to give them a clear picture of those receiving state benefits, such as food stamps, Medicaid, or temporary assistance for needy families.
Among adults ages 21 to 40, 38.8% of them are intergenerational. And that's a mark now that we can monitor over time to see if that number comes down. It's not only a reflection of the overall number of people in poverty, but it also helps us identify that those who are in poverty right now tend to be more situational. And that's really a good thing, because those who are temporary are not going to be here in the next generation.
Karen Crompton, who heads the advocacy group Voices for Utah Children, applauds the intergenerational poverty study, and she says there are some proven strategies that help families break free of a cycle of dependence.
We've seen where high-quality preschool programs are closing what we call the opportunity gap, where low-income, at-risk kids are now entering kindergarten on grade level with their peers, are reading at grade level at the end of third grade. So if you can catch this early, there is a cost up front, but it's certainly not anywhere near the cost that you see 20 years from now.
Crompton is also an advocate of a state-level earned income tax credit to go along with the federal EITC program that provides cash to low-income families who are working and filing tax returns.
Most people who are living in poverty are working. Many of them are not going to get better jobs. They don't have the skill level or the education level to do that. But if we can help supplement and encourage work through an earned income tax credit, we think that's a good investment.
Utah Governor Gary Herbert has been an advocate of the federal earned income tax credit, appearing in public service announcements encouraging families to apply. The question of a state EITC in Utah could come up in the next legislative session. Tomorrow is the strident partisan political debate that's characterized the past few years, decreasing political participation in Utah. That's issue number 8 on the Utah Priorities Project list. I'm Dan Bomas, KUER News.
The Salt Lake County Clerk's Office has requested Salt Lake County mayoral candidate Mark Crockett refund a portion of his campaign funds to his donors following a decision that the Republican violated campaign finance rules. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
The Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office ruled during Mark Crockett's 2012 run for county mayor, he exceeded the $6,000 individual contribution cap set within a Salt Lake County ordinance. The ruling was in response to a complaint filed by the Salt Lake County Democratic Party earlier this month. Crockett's campaign manager Randy O'Hara issued a letter to the clerk's office saying the campaign continues to disagree with their interpretation of the rules. However, Crockett will refund the money. Donnell Burton Lee is chief deputy to the county clerk.
It doesn't happen a lot, but it's not uncommon for candidates to misunderstand or have a different perception of what the ordinance may or may not mean as far as those election cycles and the $6,000 cap. And I think that Mr. O'Hara's letter says that.
The county ordinance allows Crockett 10 days to refund the money and another 4 days to file an amended finance disclosure report. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
A new Deseret News KSL poll shows Mia Love taking a 49-43% lead over Jim Matheson in Utah's 4th Congressional District race. That's a turnaround from June, when a similar poll showed Matheson, the Democrat, leading the Republican candidate, Love, by 53-38%. Love's campaign released a similar poll last week, showing her taking the lead in the race.
Democratic Congressman Jim Matheson and his Republican opponent Mia Love squared off in 3 debates last week. With only one more debate scheduled, the candidates in Utah's 4th Congressional District are laying out their campaign strategies for the 5 weeks between now and Election Day. At a news conference Monday, Love, who's the current mayor of Saratoga Springs, tried again to attach Matheson to the president's plan to fix the nation's economy.
He has not been a check and balance to President Barack Obama on issues that have mattered most: reckless spending. We cannot afford to leave our children a legacy of debt and dependency.
Matheson is seeking a 7th term in the U.S. House and his first in the state's new 4th district. He points to what he calls his independent voting record and endorsements from groups such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as proof that he takes a measured approach to economic issues.
It's easy to speak in sweeping generalizations, but I think we need to talk about specific issues, my view of the future in terms of our economy, or my view about how we want to make sure our kids get to pursue the American dream. I've always been a strong advocate for college financial aid.
The two candidates are scheduled to meet in one more debate before November 6th. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed a threatened species listing for the coral pink sand dunes tiger beetle. This is a small insect found only at the sand dunes in Kane County. Much of that area is a state park that's popular with off-road vehicles, though some areas have already been restricted to protect the tiger beetles in the past. Henry Maddox with the Utah Department of Natural Resources says it's possible those restrictions will be expanded.
My guess is, in speaking with Fish and Wildlife Service, they're interested in protecting more of the beetle habitat, and so they could expand that protection area. If they do, it could cut off pretty good portions of the sand dunes to public access.
The Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance applauded the proposed listing. It first petitioned to have the tiger beetle listed under the Endangered Species Act back in 1997. A court settlement with another group, Wild Earth Guardians, requires the Fish and Wildlife Service to act on more than 200 proposed endangered species listings by 2016.
The Communication Workers of America have authorized a strike against CenturyLink in 13 states across the West and Midwest. CWA has been trying to reach a new contract for 13,000 employees before the current agreement expires on Saturday night. The employees include customer service agents, network technicians, and internet support workers. American Express has agreed to pay $112 million to settle allegations the company charged unlawful late fees and deceived customers to pressure them to pay old debts. The Salt Lake Tribune reports most of that money will be paid as restitution to the customers affected, but about $27 million will be civil penalties. The Utah Department of Financial Institutions is one of the agencies that investigated the case, and it's a party to the settlement. And finally, the principal of Stansbury High School has apologized to students who were turned away from the homecoming dance last weekend because their dresses were too short. The Salt Lake Tribune reports Kendall Topham gathered students in 4 assemblies and admitted the dress code policy was vague. He promised another free dance to make up for the disappointment. Those turned away at the door included Stansbury High's homecoming queen. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, October 2nd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.